إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 14th session dealing with the topic of al-iman, or faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the book of al-allama Hafiz al-Hakami rahimahullah, which he entitled Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Naji al-Mansura. And in the previous weeks, we discussed a number of topics related to Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat. And as we know, those who have been attending, we know that the scholars of the Sunnah have made it clear to us that the different aspects of Tawheed are normally categorized or divided into the Tawheed of Rububiyyah, Allah's Lordship, and Tawheed Al-Uluhiyyah, or Ubudiyya, or Ilahiyya, and the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being alone and deserving to be worshipped, and the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat. And what we have been talking about is the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat. And we mentioned a number of rules. And from amongst the last of the things that we mentioned is related to the fact that the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not only the names of Allah, but also they contain within them, by the indication of tadammun, they indicate some of the sifat of Allah. And one of the questions that we covered recently in the past few weeks is the question where the Shaykh, he mentioned, what may be understood or derived from the name Al-Ali or Al-A'la, and names of similar meaning, Al-Zahiru, Al-Qahiru, Al-Muta'ali, and so on. And we discussed that the sifa that is understood from this name, Al-Ali or Al-A'la, and names of similar meaning, is Al-Ulu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described with being high, lofty, exalted. And we said, the Shaykh said that this Ulu is of three types, and some scholars say two types, Ulu al-Dhat and Ulu al-Sifat. And the Shaykh, he said also, Ulu al-Sha'n, Ulu al-Qadr. And we discussed all of this, and then we started to mention the evidences for each of these types of Ulu, Allah's highness. We began to discuss the evidences. What are the evidences for Ulu al-Fawqiyyah or Ulu al-Dhat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, that he is high above everything and everyone. And we mentioned evidences from the Quran. We mentioned evidences from the Sunnah. And we would like to talk tonight, inshallah, about the evidences for Ulu al-Qahr, yani Allah's dominance, power, authority, supremacy over everything. That's what we'd like to talk about tonight. And before we talk about that, we're going to look quickly at the questions that we talked about last week as a review and a reminder of what we covered previously. Last week we looked at question number 67, where the Shaykh, he said, مَاذَا قَالَ الْعِمَّةِ عِمَّةُ الدِّينِ مِنَ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ فِي مَسْأَلَةِ الْإِسْتِوَاءِ. Yani, what have the imams of this deen from amongst the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, what have they said concerning the issue of al-istiwa, ascension or rising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above his arsh? Naam. Fadl. الاستواء غير مجهول. Meaning? Okay, it's not unknown. That means it's known. Now. والكيف غير معقول. نعم. Meaning? It's incomprehensible. It's not possible to comprehend, to conceive by the aql, by the intellect, the how, the kayfiyah of Allah's sifat. نعم. والإيمان به واجب. Meaning? Believing in this characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, istiwa, that He ascended above His arsh, believing in this is wajib, it's obligatory. Naam. Wasu'al anhu bid'ah. Naam. And asking about the how of Allah's sifa of istiwa, His characteristic, this quality, this description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with throughout the Quran. Asking about the how of it, it's not possible for a human being to know the how of it, so asking about it, it wasn't asked in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor in time of Sahaba. Therefore, to ask about it is something that is from innovation. It's not possible for anyone to know. Naam. So this is yani one of the sayings that has been narrated from the Salaf, from many of them, from many generations of the Imams of the Salaf, in some various different wording, but basically yani of this meaning. Naam. This is what. Yani in this statement, or this, the understanding from this statement, that is, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with in the Quran, or what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described Him with in the authentic Sunnah, in Arabic language, is well known what it means. As far as the how of it, the reality of it, this is something that's not possible to be comprehended by the intellect of the human being. Since Allah has confirmed it for Himself, or the Prophet ﷺ has confirmed it for Him, it's obligatory for us to believe in it. There's no room for us to question it or to doubt it. And to ask about the how of it. How is Allah's ascending or descending or His descriptions? This is innovation. Naam. This is what the scholars, the Imams of the Salaf al-Salih, this is what they have said concerning al-Istiwa, and this is what they have said concerning the ayats in the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that deal with Allah's sifat. This is our position. Naam. Second question, which is actually an extra question, is now from the book. Mention three of the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors, who this statement concerning istiwa is narrated from. Naam, Musa. One of them, Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Naam. Other person, Naam, Ahmed. Salama, radiallahu anha. Al-Mu'mineen. One of the wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salama, naam. And a third? Naam. All of the scholars commented on it. But, okay, it's okay. You can say Imam Ahmed for sure. There's no doubt about it that he said like this. Naam. Who did we mention last week though? From amongst the scholars who this particular specific statement in these words have been narrated from. Naam. Okay, we said from the contemporary scholar, Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. Naam. We quoted from him. Naam. And who did he say, though? From amongst the Salaf, who did he mention? Naam. Imam Malik Sheikh. Naam. Naam. Rabi' ibn Abi Abdurrahman. Rahimahullah. Naam. And actually, we didn't have a chance because of the time last week to read some of the other names of other scholars from the past. Most of the Imams from every era, they have confirmed this meaning. And Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, quotes from Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi, a long list of the Imams from every single generation from the past who held this particular view. And we didn't have a chance to read all of those names, but in any case, we know for sure that this is the view of the Imams, the leaders, the greatest scholars, the distinguished scholars from the Salaf, and from amongst Sahaba and Tabi'in, Atba'a Tabi'in, and those who came after them up until today. Now, okay, other question. Mention three of the deviant ideas or groups of the people who reject the truth that Allah is high above His arsh. Give me one of them. Naam. Naam. Fadl, Ibrahim. Hululiyya. Naam. What is this group? What are they? What do they believe? What do they say? They claim that Allah is everywhere. Naam. Everywhere, in every place, without exception. Just imagine what kind of places they're talking about. Naam. Naam. Okay. Naam. Al-Juhudiyya. They said that Allah is not within the world, nor is he outside of the world. He is not in front, nor behind, nor above or below, nor to the right or to the left. These people, Juhudi, are the people who deny, and they deny Allah's existence. Because that description which they gave is a description of something that does not exist. Not in the world, nor out of the world, not above or below, not in front or behind, to the right or left, then where is it? Doesn't exist. Naam. And the third group, or the second group, yes. Ittihadiyya, naam. They say that Allah is in everything, that Allah is everything, that Allah is everything, that everything is Allah. Naam. And the Shaykh, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Zayd, in his discussion of this particular matter, and the explanation of his discussion concerning Allah ascending above His Arsh and His Highness above the Arsh, it is mentioned that he made his statement concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being above His Arsh the way he stated it in order to refute these people who say that Allah is everything, or that Allah is in every place. And the worst of them are those who say that Allah is non-existent. Naam. So these are some of the deviant people who rejected the clear truth, the clear reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above His throne. Naam. And this is something that we should beware of. This idea still exists today, as I mentioned last week. And I didn't read from the book, but I brought a book that we should be aware of. These kind of people, that they do exist, and their da'wah is present. It is ongoing. This is a group right here in Brooklyn. Naam, 651 Banner Avenue, Masjid Al-Arqam Da'wah Center. And in their book, what they call Elementary Teachings of Islam, or Friday Sermons, the first chapter 1, Oneness of Allah, the second question, where is Allah? Answer, Allah is everywhere. That's what they wrote. Allah is everywhere, in everything, in every place. This is pure, absolute ignorance. And as some of the scholars of the Salaf, including Imam Ahmed, and even before Imam Ahmed, we quote it from Umm Salama, radiallahu anha, said that this is kufr. We are not saying that if a person says this, that he's a kafir. We're saying that this statement, this belief, is a statement of kufr. And if a person says that, they should be educated, and they should be brought proofs and clear evidences, and we should pray that Allah open their heart to accept the truth, that Allah is as He said He is, that He is Al-Ali, Al-A'la, Al-Muta'ali, Al-Zahir, Al-Qahir, that who was Tawa ala al-Arsh. We should bring them proof and evidence from the Quran and from the Sunnah, that perhaps the person will realize the error, and retract this statement of kufr, and this belief of kufr, because it is widespread, even until today. The last question, which we will skip tonight, inshallah, mention five matters that show the importance of seeking knowledge of Asma wa Sifat. For the sake of time, we'll pass. We have been discussing this matter for the last few weeks, and we hope that, inshallah, the idea of what the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, what he has given to us concerning this matter should stick with some of us, inshallah, at least one or two or three of these points that are proofs or that indicate and show us the importance of this knowledge of the Tawheed, of the names of Allah, and His characteristics or qualities. Or maybe we'll take one or two of them. Now, somebody give us one at least to remind us. What is one of the matters that show the importance of the study of this Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat? One of the matters that show the importance of this. Naam. There's no purity. Somebody's telephone. Oh, stop. Okay, there's no greater need, no doubt. There's no greater need for the human being than that which comes as a result of knowing Allah's names and sifat. The Shaykh said that the point that you are referring to, where the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, he said that this knowledge, the person who has knowledge of Allah's names and sifat, it invites or calls the person to have love of Allah, and to exalt Allah, and to extol Allah, and to have fear of Allah, and hope in Allah, And most importantly, knowing Allah's names and sifat, most importantly, it calls the person to do whatever they do for the sake of Allah alone, with ikhlas. Naam. And there's no greater need that the human being could have than what? Than these things, to have love of Allah, and to exalt Allah, and to have hope and fear in Allah, and to worship Him alone. There's no greater need that the human being could have. And this is one of the reasons that the Shaykh mentioned, shows the importance of studying Tawheed, Asma wa Sifat. That a person needs to know Allah's names, and His characteristics and qualities, and understand them, and reflect upon them, and keep them in the forefront of our minds, so that we can act upon them and live by them. This is one reason. And we will, yani, maybe in the future, we'll continue to discuss it a little bit as we go along. Tonight, the questions that we want to look at are question number 68. And if possible, 69, inshallah. If Allah allows time, inshallah, we have time. In question number 68, the Shaykh, and 69, the Shaykh talks about the evidences of ulu al-qahr. Yani, al-ulu, the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, authority, supremacy, His dominance over everything and everyone. Naam. And the Shaykh mentions in this first question, 68, six ayat from the Quran. And in the next question, 69, he mentions three hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We like to look at them quickly, and then we like to look at them in some detail. Yani from the beginning, the Shaykh, he says, what is the evidence? ما دليل علو القهر من الكتاب? What is the evidence of the highness of Allah's qahr, His dominance, His power, His authority over everyone and everything, from the Kitab, from the Quran? And he says, أَدِلَّتُهُ كَثِيرًا مِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. The evidence is concerning or proving the highness of Allah's qahr, His dominance, from the Quran. There are many evidences, he said, and from amongst them is the saying of Allah the Most High, and He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Al-Qahir, فَوْقَ ibadi, above His servants. He is Al-Qahir, meaning the one who is, yani, high in dominance, in power, in authority, that everything is subjected to Him, everything is in submission to Him, everything is humbled before Him. Naam. This is Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 18th Ayat, and a very similar meaning came in another Ayat from the Quran, the same Surah, 6th Surah, 61st Ayat. And the Shaykh says this ayat, هو القاهر فوق عباده, that He is Al-Qahir, the dominant, the irresistible, the conqueror, the vanquisher, above His servants. This ayat, هو يتضمن, هو متضمن لعلو القهر وفوقية. يعني that it contains within it, or indicates or points to, two things. One, علو القهر, the highness of His supremacy or dominance, and as well it also points to Al-Fawqiyyah. Al-Fawqiyyah, that Allah is Fawq, that He is above everything and everyone. He Himself is above everything and everyone. By His that, His divine being is above everything and everyone. And not only that, but His supremacy, His dominance is high above everyone and everything. And then the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumr, 39th surah, 4th ayah, Subhanahu huwa Allahu al-wahidu al-qahhar. Subhanahu. Yani, Subhana is the declaration, yani this statement is the declaration of tasbih. Subhanahu. That is, that a person is saying that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is free from all imperfections. Yani, it is the negation of any kind of imperfection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the affirmation of His perfection. هو الله الواحد القهار. He is Allah. Yani in this ayat, before this statement, Subhanahu, yani is the claim, yani of the people of disbelief and deviation, that Allah is refuting the claim that He has a son. He says Subhanahu. Yani this is something far removed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has no need for such. هو الله. He is Allah. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, the one that is alone, that is unique, and Al-Qahhar, the dominant, the supreme. And then he's saying, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ghafir, 40th Surah, 16th Ayat, لمن الملق اليوم لله الواحد القهار. And this also is in the context of an ayat the Shaykh is just mentioning, the part of the ayat that he wants to refer to as the proof for what he is saying. لمن الملق اليوم. To, it will be said, to whom belongs the dominion, the kingdom, the sovereignty today, meaning on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, this will be said. To whom belongs the mulk al-yawm, today? Lillahi al-wahid al-qahhar. It belongs to Allah, al-wahid al-qahhar. And these are two of the names of Allah. Al-wahid, he is one, he is alone, he is unique. And al-qahhar, the one who is dominant, the supreme. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 65th ayat, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارِ. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is, say, Allah is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to them, and the people tried to place the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of his position, to give him some authority, some position or some power that doesn't belong to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering him, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرٌ. Say, I am only a warner. I'm only a warner. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. The one who is one, alone, unique. The dominant, supreme. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 56th ayat, مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ, that there is no daba, no living creature crawling upon the earth, no living being on the earth, إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا, except that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has control of its forelock. Allah is gripping, grasping, controlling, holding, what? The forelock. The forelock represents what? The center of control, the center of power. That Allah, the one who controls the forelock, is the one who controls that being, absolutely, complete and total control. So there is nothing that deserves worship except Allah, the one who is Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I mean there's no daba, there's no living creature on earth except that Allah is taking control of their forelock. And finally the Shaykh mentions, the last ayat he mentions is from Surah Al-Rahman, 55th Surah, 33rd ayah. Ya ma'ashar al-jinni wal-ins, إن استطعتم أن تنفذوا من أقطار السماوات والأرض فانفذوا لا تنفذون إلا بسلطان. And this also, most of the scholars said that this is يوم الحشر, يعني the day of gathering, when the people will be collected for judgment, يوم القيامة. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, يا معشر الجن والإنس, O assembly of jinn and ins, jinn and humans, إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. If you are able to penetrate, to go outside of the regions or the zones of the heavens and the earth, فَانْفُذُوا, then do so. لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. And you will not be able to do so except with a sultan, yani an authority, a power, a great power. And no one has that power except Allah, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. And the Shaykh says, وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ. And other than that, يعني, from the ayats of the Qur'an that indicate this meaning, the meaning of what? أُولُو الْقَهْرُ. That Allah's dominance, His supremacy, His power and authority is high, above, over and above everyone and everything in the creation. And after this, the Shaykh mentions three hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that also a proof. And this is in question 69, مَا دِلِلْ ذَلِكَ مِنَ السُنَّةِ. يعني what is the evidence of that from the sunnah? Of what? Of that meaning أُولُو الْقَهْرِ. What is the evidence of Allah's highness, of His qahr, of His supremacy and His dominance and power and authority? What is the evidence of that from the sunnah? And the Shaykh mentions three hadith. And after mentioning this, inshallah, we'd like to go back and look at each of these evidences, يعني, in some detail. He says, أَدِلَّتُهُ مِنَ السُنَّةِ كَثِيرًا. The evidences of this, أُلُوَ الْقَهْرَ, from the sunnah are many. وَمِنْهَا قَوْلُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ. From amongst them is saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ دَابَةٍ أَنْتَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. That I seek refuge in you. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is making dua. And this dua came in one of the dua that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to recite in the night before going to sleep. And this is a part of it. يعني this is one part of the dua. A'udhu bika, I seek refuge in you, min sharri kulli dabatin, from the evil of every living creature, anta akhidhun binasiyatiha, that you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have control in your grip, you have control of its forelock, and you have power over every one of these creatures. I seek refuge in you from the evil of every creature that you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has control over. And this supplication is reported in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, collected by Imam Muslim, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and others. In the second hadith that the Shaykh mentions, قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, اللهم إني عبدك وابن عبدك وابن عمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاءك. And he only mentions this part of the supplication. This is a supplication that we came across previously, early on, a few weeks back, from the supplications that the Shaykh mentioned. And this is a very, very important supplication from the dua of Qunut that the Prophet ﷺ has left for us, of great importance and great benefit. And if anyone didn't memorize it, then you should memorize it. Naam. In this supplication, or in this part of the supplication, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, O Allah, inni abduka wa ibn abdika, that I am your servant, your worshipper, your slave. And I am the son of your abd, your servant, your worshipper, your slave. And I am the son of your female slave. Nasiyati biyadik. And this is the point that the Shaykh intends to use in this supplication, that my forelock is in your hand. Meaning that you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are in control of my total being, of my existence, of everything about me. You're in total control of it. More than fi hukmuk, adlun fi qadaq. That your ruling, your hukm, is executed, ongoing with me. Meaning I fulfill whatever ruling you make, I am with it. Adlun fi qadaq. And your judgment, your decree, your divine decree, whatever you have decreed for me, it is just. Yani, what? This is a statement of acknowledgement that whatever Allah rules with, that we must comply with it. And whatever Allah decrees, that we accept it. And the Prophet ﷺ used to say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا, that I am pleased with Allah as my Rabb. That means that I am pleased with what Allah has created and what Allah has legislated and what Allah has decreed. I am pleased with all of this because all of this is from His rububiyyah. And we discussed this previously. And when we discussed the aspects of Tawheed. And this hadith is mentioned by Imam Ahmed, is recorded by Imam Ahmed in the Musnad from Abdul ibn Mas'ud. And some scholars have some question about the authenticity of this hadith due to some defects, yani some weakness in the isnad. And some other scholars, alhamdulillah, from the past and from the present, have examined the hadith. And Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, have examined it carefully in silsila hadith al-sahiha and acknowledged the authenticity, correctness of this hadith from the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. And the last hadith that the Shaykh mentions, قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك. إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. And this is subhanallah. This supplication is a supplication that I mentioned as the supplication of Qunut, that a person should learn. This is the supplication that the Prophet ﷺ has left for us as one of the supplications of Qunut. And the previous supplication that we mentioned is the supplication that the Prophet ﷺ said, if a person has worry or anxiety or grief, that they should supplicate with that supplication, that Allah make the Qur'an rabi'a qalbi wa nura sadri, and so on to the end of the supplication. That make the Qur'an the spring of my heart and the light of my chest, and so on. Naam. This hadith is narrated by Al-Imam al-Nasa'i in his Sunan, under the chapter of Dua fil Witr, yani the Qunut that is recited in Witr, and At-Tirmidhi also mentions it, and others. And this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying in this part of the supplication, إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ, you are the one who decides. The qadha is with Allah. He is the one who rules, who judges, and who decrees. In both types of decree, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned in the explanation of this supplication, that the qada is shar'i and also qawni. Yani this qada here is Allah when He legislates something as well as when He decrees in the divine decree that something will happen. Innaka taqdi. You, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the only one who legislates and you are the only one who decides, who decrees what will be. وَلَا يُقْدَ عَلَيْكَ. And there is no decree that is made over you. Meaning no one can decree or decide anything outside of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani takes into his custody, his care to look over, yani بِالْوِلَايَةِ, then that person will not be humiliated. And whoever Allah has enmity for, then that person will never be honored. And these are evidences that the Shaykh mentioned. And we'd like to go back to the ayat and look at each of them a little bit more carefully. All of these ayat and these hadith are proofs, as the Shaykh mentions, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the final say in what will happen, because He has control over everything and everyone. Everything is in submission. Everything is subjected to. Everything is humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His power, His authority, His dominance, His supremacy is over everyone and everything. And this is what we mean by ulu al-qahr, that Allah dominates over everything. And His qahr is high above everyone else. Whoever has any authority or any power or any dominance over any group of people or any place or in any time, Allah is over them. Hu al-qahir, al-qahiru fawqa ibadihi. Naam. So, as far as the first ayat, yani these ayat that the Shaykh has mentioned should be looked at in their context in order to clarify a little bit. For the sake of time, we can't go into the total detail of it, but I recommend and advise you strongly that you go back to the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. And even though it is a mukhtasa, summary, but go back to the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir on each of these ayats and read the ayats that's before and the ayats that's after so you see it in its context. But some of them are not clear outside of their context. It's not really clear. But in any case, in the ayah, that the first ayah that the Shaykh mentions, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ إِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Yani the ayah before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something that's related to this topic, and that is that if Allah causes harm to someone, then there's nobody who can remove it. And if Allah brings good to somebody, there's nobody that can hold it back. Allah has power over everything. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And He is the all-wise, the all-aware. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the ayah before the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, in the 17th ayah of this surah, He says that, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, that Allah the Most High is informing us that He is the one who has control over harm and benefit. And He is the one who has the free disposal over His creatures with whatever He wills. And there's nobody who can come behind whatever He has ruled with. And there's nobody who can reject that which He has decreed to happen. It will be. And then He says, and He mentions some other ayats that have the same meaning. And then He says, and this is as the Prophet ﷺ said in the Sahih, yani in Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is narrated by both of them, that He ﷺ said, Allahumma la mani'a lima atait. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتُ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. And this supplication is a supplication that is of great importance, that a Muslim is in need of. It's in line with what we are talking about here, but it's in a person is in need of it all the time. اللَّهُمَّ لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا عَطَيْتُ. There's no one who can hold back that which you have given. Oh Allah, there's no one who can withhold that which you give. وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتُ. And there's no one who can give that which you withhold. If a person understands this, no one can hold back that which Allah gives. If Allah decrees, decides something, He has power over everything and everyone. If He decides to give something, nobody can hold it back. And if Allah decides to withhold it, no one can give it. No one can give it. Not your mother or your father, or your best friend or your sister or your brother. Not the president or the king or anyone else. If Allah holds it back, nobody can give it. And this is one of the reasons why Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya, in one explanation of this hadith, he said, and therefore, if you ask somebody for something, even if you're entitled to it and they withhold it, don't blame them. Allah will judge them. But it is Allah who withholds, because nobody can withhold that which Allah gives. But we are concentrating on the people, we forgot about Allah. We are worried about the one who withheld it from us, when it's only Allah who can withhold. Nobody can withhold that which Allah gives. And this is, and in this supplication, the Prophet ﷺ said, La mania lima atait. La mania, that means there's absolutely no one. La and nafil al jins. That means there's absolutely no one who can hold back that which Allah gives. Nor is anyone who gives that which Allah withholds. So this is a supplication worthy of memorization, reflection, contemplation, and reciting it all the time as much as possible. Help me, please. Al-Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir, he says, for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ إِبَادِهِ, that He is Al-Qahir, above His servants, His worshippers, His slaves. Meaning, He is the one that the riqab, all of the necks of the people, and all of the jababira, the tyrants and oppressors, and all of the faces, everyone is humbled, subjected, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is humbled, brought down low in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has conquered, defeated, overcome everything, and all of the creatures are lowly in front of Him. And everything is humbled before the greatness of His majesty and His majesticness, His magnificence, His highness, His ulu, and His qudra, His power. Everything is subjected, lowered, humiliated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ, يعني He is wise in everything that He does. وَهُوَ الْخَبِيرُ, that means He puts things in their proper place. And He doesn't give to anyone except the one who is deserving of it. And He doesn't withhold from anyone except the one who is deserving. Let it be withheld from them. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat, هو القاهر فوق عباده وهو الحكيم الخبير. He said, know that this surah, the whole of this surah, contains or consists of taqrir al-tawheed, the affirmation, the confirmation of al-tawheed, with every type of evidence, aqli and naqli, yani that which is rational from the mind and that which is transmitted through the evidences, yani from the revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah. بَلْ كَادَتْ أَن تَكُونُ قُلُّهَا فِي شَأْنِ التَّوْهِيدِ. Almost the whole of the surah is concerning the matter of التوحيد and refuting the mushrikeen, those who worship something along with Allah, and the mukadhibeen, those who deny the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes on to say that from the evidences of التوحيد in this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone the one who removes harm and the one who brings good to a person. And he says, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, يعني no person can do anything, nor can any person who wants to move make any movement, nor any person who wants to be still, except بِمَشِيَتِهِ. يعني no one can do anything except by the will of Allah, except it is subject to the will of Allah, that Allah allows it. And even the kings who other than them, they cannot go outside of the sovereignty of Allah or the sultan, the authority of Allah. But rather, all of them are subject to Allah's control. Everyone is subject to Allah, His power and His authority. So if He is the one who is Al-Qahir, and He is the one who is supreme, dominant, and everyone else is subject to His dominance, then He alone is the one who deserves to be worshipped. And this is the first evidence that the Shaykh mentioned. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And not only does this indicate that Allah, His dominance is high above every other creature or every created being, but rather even Allah Himself is high and He is Hakim, wise in what He does, and Khabir, aware of all that is done, whether secret or open, from the most hidden of things. And all of this is proof of Allah's Tawheed. The second evidence that the Shaykh mentioned from Surah Az-Zumr, uh, Naam, 39th surah, 4th ayat. The Shaykh, he mentions part of the ayat, Subhanahu huwa Allahu al-Wahidul Qahhar. And before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَن يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا لَصْطَفَى مِمَّا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءَ. That if Allah intended to take a son, then He would have chosen from those creatures that He created, whatever He willed. He doesn't need to have a wife and then have a son. Rather, He created everything. He can choose from His creatures whatever. If Allah desired, if He intended to take someone as a son, then He would have chosen from what He has created, whatever He will. Subhanahu. But rather, this is something that Allah is free from. Allah has no need for such. And we declare Allah to be perfect and free of imperfection, or free of any need to have a son or a spouse or anything else from what they have falsely attributed to Him. Who Allah, He is Allah, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. And Al-Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says concerning this saying, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Subhanahu, who Allah, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar, that means, Ta'ala, wa tanazzah, wa taqaddasa, an أن يكون له ولدا فإنه الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي كل شيء عبد لديه فقير إليه وهو الغني عما سواه الذي قد قهر الأشياء فدانت له وذلت وخضعت. يعني the meaning of this is that he is saying the explanation of Subhanahu, it means that Allah is high above this, that Allah is free, yani, from being of such being ascribed to Him, that He have a son, because He is Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, Al-Fard, Al-Samad. Yani, He is one, He is alone, He is unique, the one who is without need of anyone or anything, while everything is in need of Him, Al-Samad. He is the one that everything is a slave to Him, and everything is in need of Him, and He is free of need of everything or everyone besides Him. He is the one who has conquered everything, and everything is humbled, subjected, humiliated in front of Him. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, concerning this, and again, remember that what we are talking about here, we are talking about ulu al-qahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dominance over everything, His supremacy, His power, His authority over everything. He has no need of any of this. Naam. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, he says concerning this ayat, he has a lot of comments, but again, يعني, he would get right to the point where he says, هو الله الواحد القهار, أي الواحد في ذاته وفي أسمائه وفي صفاته وفي أفعاله فلا شبيه له في شيء من ذلك ولا مماثلة. That Allah, He is الواحد, He is one, He is alone, He is unique in His that, يعني His divine being is one, alone, unique, nothing like Him. And He is alone in His asma, yani nobody else is entitled to al-asma al-husna, the beautiful names that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is alone in His sifat, in His lofty characteristics and qualities, and He is alone in His af'al, yani in everything that He does, His actions also are unique, and there's no one like Him or similar to Him or equal to Him and sharing with Him in the way He does things. And then the Shaykh, he talks about the beginning of the ayah where he mentions that if he had a son, then this would mean that there would be someone like him in his uniqueness. And then he wouldn't be unique, because his son would be from him and would be a part of him. And this is unbecoming of Allah. He is Al-Qahir, yani the one who has dominance and supremacy over everything in the upper world or heavens, and in the lower world, He has power over everything. And He is His wahda, yani His uniqueness or His oneness, and His qahr, His dominance or supremacy, is mutalaziman. Yani these two characteristics that come from these two names, al-wahid, al-qahhar, His wahdaniya and His qahr, these two things are mutalaziman, meaning they are inseparable. They cannot be separated. And this is why every place in the Quran where Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar, every place where these two names came, they came together. Al-Qahhar is not mentioned in the Quran except in six places. And every place is mentioned with this name Al-Wahid, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. These two characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these two names and the characteristics that come from them are inseparable. So the one who is al-wahid, al-wahid fal-wahid la yakun illa qahharan. Yani the one who is one alone, unique, he will not be except that he is the also the one who has dominance over everything and everyone. And the one who has that dominance, he will not accept, it will not be except for one who is unique and alone, and there will not be another with him. And for this reason, we negate from him any partnership in any aspect or in any way that you may look at it. Allah is free of any partnership. He is alone. Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. He is alone in his dominance and supremacy and power and authority. And the third ayah that the Shaykh mentions, لِمَنِ الْمُلْقَ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Also, the ayah before it is worthy of examination because it's related to this ayah, but the Shaykh, he didn't mention it, he just mentioned the end of this ayah, 16th ayah. He said, in the beginning of the ayah, يَوْمَهُمْ بَارِزُونَ لَا يَخْفَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٌ لِمَنِ الْمُلْقُ الْيَوْمَ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Yani on this day, he's talking about يوم القيامة, the day of resurrection, the day of gathering, day of judgment. The people, everyone, they will come forward, they will come out in the open. لا يخفى على الله منهم شيء. Nothing will be hidden from Allah, from them. Yani from their beings, from their actions, and so on. All of it. It will be obvious, it will be visible, it will be apparent to Allah. لمن الملك اليوم. To whom is the mulk, the kingdom, the sovereignty today? Yani on يوم القيامة. لله الواحد القهار. It is for Allah, Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar. Al-Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir makes some comments concerning this. From amongst what he says, he mentions some hadith. One of those hadith is the hadith of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will roll up the heavens and the earth in his hand. And then he will say, Ana al-Malik, Ana al-Jabbar, Ana al-Mutakabbir. I am the king. I am the compeller. I am the great one. Ayn al-muluk al-ard? Where are the kings of the earth? Ayn al-jabbarun? Where are the tyrants in the earth? Ayn al-mutakabbirun? The proud and arrogant. Yani on this day, there will be no one to stand forward. But Allah will be alone in His dominance, His supremacy, al-wahid al-qahhar. And he also mentions another hadith in which the hadith of Asur, yani when the horn will be blown for the announcing the judgment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this, the souls of all of His created beings, and there would remain no one, yani alive. He will take everyone's soul, there will be no one left living, except He will be alone, without any partner or associate. And in that time He will say, لِمَنَ الْمُلْكَ الْيَوْمِ. To whom is the kingdom today? He will repeat this three times, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer Himself. He will answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. That is, the one who is alone, the one who has conquered everything and overcome everything. And he mentions some other hadith, and yani with the same meaning. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, explaining this ayat, he mentions a number of points, and I'll mention two of them. In reference to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لمن الملك اليوم, to who will belong the kingdom today? Who does it belong to today? Yani who is the Malik on that day? Who will be the king? Al-Azim, the Supreme, Al-Jami' lil-Awwaleen wal-Akhireen, the one who collects all the people, the first people from the beginning, when Allah first created the human beings, and the last of people until the end. Ahlus Samawati wa Ahlul Ard, the people of the heavens, meaning the creatures in the heaven, the angels, as well as the creatures of the earth. Everything, any partnership, or association, or anyone helping or sharing with anyone else will be cut off. And all the means of any help will be cut off. And there will not remain anything at that time. And when Allah says this on that day, illa al-a'mal as-salihah aw as-sayyi'ah. Nothing will remain on that day except good deeds or evil deeds. And this is a point that we should take a moment, and we don't have a lot of time, but we should take a moment and reflect that on that day, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce that the kingdom belongs to Him alone, nothing will remain on that day. There will be no opportunity, no one to help, no one to call upon, nothing that anyone could do. The only thing that will be left that day will be a'mal, the deeds of the human being. As-saliha or sayya. And now is the time to prepare for that day. And the Shaykh, he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لله الواحد القهار. يعني that the kingdom belongs to Allah الواحد القهار. يعني المنفرد في ذاته وأسمائه وصفاته وأفعاله. The one who is alone in his divine being, in his names, in his sifat, his characteristics, in his actions. And he will not have any partner in anything on that day. He is the one who is supreme over all of the created beings. And everything in the creation will be humbled and lowered before him, especially in that day in which everyone will be humbled before Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And in that day no one will speak except with his permission. And the fourth ayah that the Shaykh mentions, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا مُنذِرُ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارِ. Say, verily I am only a warner, and there is no ilah, nothing that has a right to be worshipped except Allah الواحد القحار. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to the kuffar, those who disbelieved in Allah, and those who associate others with him, and those who deny his messenger, say to them, verily I am only a warner. I am not as you claim, yani anything that they attributed to him, other than that, beyond what Allah has missioned him with. And there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah, al-Wahid al-Qahhar. That is, that he is alone. He has conquered everything, and he has overcome everything, and he is alone in this. Al-Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he says, the saying of Allah, قُلْ, yani that this command is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is saying, O Messenger, say to those who deny, if they are asking for you something, مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ وَلَا بِيَدِكَ, yani something that you don't have any right over, that's not in your hand, that you don't have control over, that you don't have any power over, then say to them, verily I am only a warner. This is the extent of what I have, that's all. I have been missioned as a warner. وَأَمَّا الْأَمْرُ فَلِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. As far as the control over the affair, well, this belongs to Allah the Most High. But for me, I will command you, and I will prohibit you, and I will encourage you to do good, and I will warn you from doing evil. فَمَنْ اِحْتَدَى فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَعَلَيْهَا. Yani the Prophet ﷺ is sent to warn us, to encourage us to do good, to command and to prohibit what Allah has commanded us with and prohibited us from. So whoever is guided, then it is to the benefit of his own self. And whoever goes astray, then it's against his own self. And the Prophet ﷺ has given us commands and prohibitions, and he has encouraged us to do things that are praiseworthy and beneficial and commendable, that may not be obligatory, and it's upon us to accept it and to benefit from it. And whoever is guided by it, it is for their own benefit. And whoever rejects it or turns away from it, it is against their own self. And the Shaykh, he says, وَمَا مِنْ إِلَهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This means that there is no one that has divinity, and no one that has a right to be worshipped except Allah. Al-Wahid, who is one, alone, unique. Al-Qahhar, who has dominance and supremacy over everything. And this is a confirmation and an affirmation of his uluhiyya, that Allah is the one that deserves worship. And this is a conclusive, decisive burhan, proof of Allah's right to be worshipped, that he is alone and he has conquered everything. And his conquering, or his dominance, or his supremacy is inseparable from his uniqueness, his aloneness. And it is not possible that there be two conquerors that are equal in their supremacy or their dominance to one another. That is impossible. So whoever has conquered everything, then he is al-wahid, the one who has no one like him or equal to him. And he is the one that deserves to be worshipped alone, just as he is the one who dominates everything alone. And the Shaykh had some further comments, but any time. The fifth ayah that the Shaykh mentions, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا مِن دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاسِيَتِهَا. And the beginning of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ مَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That indeed I have put my trust in Allah, and I have depended and rely upon Allah, my Rabb and your Rabb. My Rabb and your Rabb. And there is no moving creature, living creature, daba, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in His grip its forelock. Yani under the complete control of Allah, indeed my Rabb, He is upon a siratin mustaqim, straight path. And Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, he had some comments about the beginning of this ayat. But we'll go straight to the part of the ayah that the Shaykh mentions. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٍ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. That there is no living creature or moving creature except that Allah has control of its forelock. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take every one of His creatures by their forelock. And the human beings, if they are a believer, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take this person, and that person will be more dear to him than a child is to its parent. And if the person is a kafir, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to them, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. مَا غَرَّكَ. What has deceived you concerning your Rabb al-Kareem? Yani what has caused you to go astray from your Rabb? Yani to disbelieve, to deny, to reject, to disobey your Rabb. And this situation, this position in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take the creatures by their forelock while having total control over them, this position, yani the reality of this is a clear proof and a conclusive evidence of the truth of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come with, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and the falsehood of what those who worship the idols have claimed, worshipping idols that can bring no benefit nor cause any harm. Rather, they are only inanimate things that do not hear and cannot see and cannot befriend anyone to help them nor oppose anyone with enmity. But rather, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who has the right to be worshipped with ikhlas, without any partner, because in His hand is the mulk, walahu at-tasarruf. Yani Allah is the one who has the power over the kingdom, the sovereignty, and He is the one who has free disposal to do whatever He wills. And there is nothing except that it is under His yani authority and His power and His yani His qahr and His sultan and His mulk. So there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him, and there is no Rabb besides Him. And if they turn away after this, then the Prophet ﷺ has been commanded to say, I have delivered to you the message that I have been sent with. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat, and a few things about putting your trust in Allah in every affair, in the Rabb, who is the Rabb of us and the Rabb of them, the Rabb of everyone. And he said that there is no daba, no creature, except that Allah has control of its forelock. There is no one that moves or remains still except by His permission. And if they were to gather together, all of the people, to bring any harm, yani to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while Allah has not given them any power to do so, then they would never be able to do it. And if Allah gives them authority to do it, then it is due to a wisdom, a hikmah that Allah intends. And this is the proof to us that no one can harm you, the one who believes in Allah. No one can harm you, except Allah gives them the ability to do so. And if Allah gives them the ability to do so, then His decree is based upon wisdom. There's a reason for it that Allah intends. And we accept Allah's decree however it goes. In the last ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, يَا مَعَشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا لَا تَنْفُذُوا إِلَّا بِالسُّلْطَانِ. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir has a lot of comments concerning this ayat. O assembly of jinn and men, if you are able to pass through or penetrate the regions of the heavens and the earth, then penetrate, and you will not be able to do so except with an authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, he mentioned a number of comments, and we'll skip some of them. And the main thing that he said, the meaning of this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing, the jinn and men. And he's saying that you will never be able to escape from the command of Allah and from His qadr. You will never be able to escape from it. Rather, he encompasses the created beings completely. And they will never have the ability to become free from His hukum, from His ruling or judgment. And they will never be able to escape from that which He has decided concerning them. And wherever they try to go, whether in the heavens or in the earth, Allah will surround them and encompass them. And this statement in this ayat, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, هَذَا فِي مَقَامَ الْمَحْشَرِ, that this will take place at the place of gathering. This will happen at the time of the gathering, when all of the creatures will be gathered for judgment. And the angels will surround all the created beings with seven rows from every side. And no one will be able to get away. Except بِسُلْطَان, إِلَّا بِسُلْطَان, that is, except by the command of Allah. And this will not happen. No one will escape from the judgment of Allah on this day. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says concerning this ayat, that when the people are gathered by Allah in the mawqif of Qiyamah and the place of standing of resurrection, He will inform them of their ajiz, of their inability, that they are not powerful, they are not able, they are not capable. And He will inform them of their da'af, of their weakness. And He will inform them of kamal sultanihi, of the perfection of His authority. Wa nufuz mashiyatihi wa qudratihi. And that it is His mashiyah, His will, and it is His power that will be executed, that has full control. So He says to them, after informing them of this, O assembly of jinn and men, if you are able to penetrate the regions of the heavens and the earth. And of course, they will not find any opening, they will not find any path to take to get outside of the authority of the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are able, then do so, but you will not be able to do so except with a sultan, meaning you will not be able to get outside, from outside of the grip, outside of the authority, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except with a power or an authority, a perfect power, a complete authority, and there's no way. وَأَنَّ لَهُمْ ذَلِكَ. How can they get such a thing? It would not happen. They do not possess for themselves any benefit. They will not be able to benefit themselves, nor harm. They don't control death or life, nor the resurrection. And وَفِي ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ لَا يَتَكَلَّمْ أَحَدْ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ وَلَا تَسْمَعْ إِلَّا حَمْسًا. That on this place of gathering, on this situation, and at the time of judgment, no one will be able to speak except by His permission, the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will not hear except a whisper. And in this mawqif, the kings and the slaves will all be equal. The rulers and the ruled will all be equal. The rich and the poor will all be equal. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, under the power and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, quickly inshallah, in a few minutes that's remaining, we're going to try to look at the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned, three hadith, with some very, very brief comments. First hadith, the Shaykh mentioned, this hadith, أعوذ بك من شر كل دابة أنت آخذ بناصيتها. This hadith actually has been narrated in a number of different books. The exact wording that the Shaykh mentioned here is one of the wordings that came in some authentic narrations. This is one of the narrations. أعوذ بك من شر كل دابة أنت آخذ بناصيتها. That I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from the evil of every moving creature or living creature, that you have control over its forelock. In some other narrations, it's mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said, أعوذ بك من شر كل ذي شر أنت آخذ بناصيتي. That I seek refuge in you from the evil of every creature that possess evil. Every creature that possess evil. That you have control over its forelock. And in another narration, أعوذ بك من كل شيء أنت آخذ بناصيتي. And this is a narration of Imam Muslim. These various narrations, actually, the ones that we mentioned, all have some authentic narration from somewhere, yani with some of those wording. Some of them said that I seek refuge in you from every living creature, from the evil of every living creature, that you have control over its forelock. And some of them said, from the evil of every creature that possess evil. And Sahih Muslim, Al-Imam Muslim narrated the hadith like this from the Prophet ﷺ. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. From the evil of everything. And this is the most comprehensive of the wordings of this hadith, the way Imam Muslim narrated. أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. From the evil of everything, whether it's living or not living, everything that exists on the earth or outside of the earth. مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَنْتَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهِ. And this is a long hadith, and yani it's also a hadith worthy of memorization. It's a hadith that's reported from Abu Hurairah, from the Prophet ﷺ, that he said, اللهم رب السماوات ورب الأرض ورب العرش العظيم ربنا ورب كل شيء. O Allah, the Rabb of the samawat, of the heavens, and the Rabb of the earth, and the Rabb of the tremendous, supreme Arsh. Our Rabb, and the Rabb of everything. I mean, this requires some time to reflect upon. We don't have time to reflect upon it, but I suggest that you go back and look at this hadith. Allah, O Allah, who is the Rabb of the Samawat, and He is the Rabb of the Ard, and He is the Rabb of the Arsh al-Azim. He is our Rabb, and He is the Rabb of everything. فَالِكَ الْحَبُ وَالنَّوَى وَمُنَزِّلْ التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ وَالْفُرْقَانِ. And someone already said, وَالْقُرْآنِ. That He is the one who split the seed, and the yani grain. And He is the one who revealed, who sent down the Torah, and the Injil, and the Furqan, or the Qur'an. And then He said, after mentioning this, with this introduction of mentioning of Allah's names, then He said, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَنْتَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِي. I seek refuge from the evil of everything that you are in control of its forelock. And then He said, اللهم أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء وأنت الآخر فليس بعدك شيء وأنت الظاهر فليس فوقك شيء وأنت الباطن فليس دونك شيء. To the end of the hadith, that you are the first and there is nothing before you, and you are the last and there is nothing after you, and you are the ظاهر, يعني the one who is most high, there is nothing above you, and you are the باطن, the one who is most near, and there is nothing nearer than you. So, يعني, relieve us of our debt and make us free from poverty. Yani, this hadith has also very important meaning, but the most important part of it is the wording that the Shaykh mentioned in the book. I seek refuge in you from the evil of everything that you have control of its forelock. And Allah has control over everything. Now, Sahih Muslim. I should have looked it up for you, but I think it's also in the fortress of the Muslim, the Sunni Muslim. Pretty sure. I'll try to find it for you, inshallah. In any case, from the meanings of this hadith, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we should seek refuge in. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we should trust in, rely upon, depend upon, have faith in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is Al-Hafiz, the one who protects and preserves from the evil of every single creature, because He is the one who controls them, who owns them, who has power with them, who does whatever He wills with them, who turns them in whichever direction He wants to turn them, who prohibits them from whatever He wants to prohibit them from. So this is a supplication that we should be and He's sticking with. The second supplication is the supplication that we mentioned previously, and so we won't go into details about it. Yani the supplication in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi said that we should say, Allahumma inni abduka ibnu abdika wa ibnu amatika, to the end of the supplication. And we went into the details and explanation of the supplication previously. So we'll go, yani for the sake of time, to the third supplication that the Shaykh mentions. إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ إِنَّهُ لَا يَظِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتَ وَلَا يَزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتَ. That, O Allah, and this is not the beginning of the supplication, the beginning of the supplication of this kunut, that the Prophet ﷺ said, اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِنِي فِي مَنْ هَدَيْتَ وَعَافِنِي فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتَ وَتَوَلَّنِي فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ وَعَافِنِي فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتَ وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي مَا عَطَيْتَ وَقِنَا شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتَ فَإِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ. This is the part that the Shaykh mentioned here. إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ إِنَّهُ لَا يَضِلُّ مَنْ وَلَيْتَ وَلَا يُزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتَ. That verily you are the one who decrees. Yani you are the one who makes laws, rulings, judgments, and you are the one who decrees what will be in the divine decree. And there is no one who can make a decree contrary to your decree, who can decide to make a decision other than what you have decided. And whoever you, yani, give wilaya to, yani, that you, yani, look over them, take them, yani, into your care, then they will not be humiliated. And this means that what? That the person who is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone because they have iman and taqwa, they will never be humiliated. Even whatever, if they are in poverty. Even if they are harmed in some kind of way by Allah's decree that He allows. But they will never be humiliated in the fact that the most honored of all people are the people who worship Allah. Whoever humbles themselves to Allah will be elevated. And whoever doesn't humble themselves to Allah will be humiliated. So whoever Allah takes in because of their iman and their taqwa as a wali, then that person will never be humiliated. In reality, they will be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever Allah has enmity for because of their disbelief and their wrongdoing, then they will never be honored, even if they have all the wealth in the earth. And even if they have positions of status and authority in amongst the people, but in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this world, they will be humiliated in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the next life, they will get what? They will get the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, and the Shaykh mentions, Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in explanation of this supplication, he mentioned a lot of beautiful points. But I will only mention like what he says in the beginning concerning the initial matter that the Shaykh mentions in the book. إِنَّكَ تَقْضِي وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who decrees قَضَاءً شَرْعِيًّا وَقَضَاءً قَوْنِيًّا. He is the one who makes the decree, the shari, yani mean His legislation, the laws that He legislates. And the قَضَاء قَوْنِي means that which He decrees to take place in the universe, what He decides will happen, that must be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who decrees everything, and He is the one who decrees for everything. And He is the one who has the right to rule. He has the perfect authority, at-tam, at-shamil, all-inclusive right to rule, to decide, to judge, to decree. وَلَا يُقْضَى عَلَيْكَ. That means that there is no one who will make a decree over Allah, who will make a decision over Allah, who will make a ruling over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contrary to what Allah has decided. So the ibad, the human beings, the servants, the worshippers, the slaves, they cannot rule over Allah. They cannot make a ruling over Allah. Rather, Allah is the one who makes rulings over the creatures. And the ibad, the creatures, they will be asked about what they do. And Allah will never be asked about what He does. And the Shaykh mentions here, Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 32nd Ayat, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. That He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will never be questioned about what He does. He does whatever He wills. And by the people, they will be questioned. Yani, we will be questioned about what we do. Every day, we go out or we stay in. We're in public or we're in private. We're with those who we love or those that we hate. Whatever we say, whatever we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about it. This is something to be concerned about. This is something that we should be concerned about. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question about what we discussed tonight, inshallah, something that's not clear. Naam. Naam. Now, yeah, if you said that, then of course we know that there's no such thing as luck. Everything is by Allah's decree. There's nothing that just happens by luck. Rather, Allah has decreed everything. And His decree is based on wisdom and justice. Okay, so His decree is perfect. Whatever He decrees is perfect. Now, so if a person says, you're lucky that this happened, or you're lucky that this didn't happen, then we should correct ourselves. We should retract that and seek Allah's forgiveness for even, and He's saying such a thing, even if it's not really what we meant, but sometimes we say something we don't really, and He consider, we don't think carefully about what we say, so we should, and He retract it, and we should correct it. And we should ask Allah's forgiveness for even expressing such an idea. Naam. And this is one of the reasons why we shouldn't be around these people, except that we have to be, unless we're giving them da'wah, or we're doing something that we're compelled to do. Because when you're in bad company, then you might do bad things. You are more inclined, depending on the environment that you're in, to act in that way. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that a person will be on the deen. Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi, falyanzur may yukhalif. So every one of you, ahadukum, falyanzur ahadukum may yukhalif. That a person will be on the deen of who he takes for a close companion. So be careful, look, and consider who you take for a close companion. Because if you are around people that are drinking, you might get some idea to drink. Maybe that's far from us. We are way above that. Allahu alhamdulillah, inshallah, we are far from that. But some people, if they're around that, they might do it. If you're around people who are talking about immorality or filth, you might engage in that conversation. Or at least you might passively listen to it. If you're around people that are using foul language, you might use some of that language. So this is why a person should be careful who they take for a friend. This is why a person should be careful who you sit with, who you eat with, who you walk with, who you're around. If you're at work and you have to be around certain people, keep your distance from them. Be polite, be cordial. If the door opens for da'wah, give them da'wah. But these are not our friends. These are not our friends. Because they will only put us into a position or a situation or environment that will cause us to follow our weaknesses. And will cause us to go backwards and cause us to go astray. Protect yourself from that. Keep good companionship. Keep the companionship of the believers. And the best of the believers. Not every Muslim is a good companion. Some Muslims we should shun and stay away from. Naam. If you know that that person is engaged in wrongdoing and filth and corruption, then stay away from that person, even if they're Muslim. Be around people that will help you and that you can help, not people that will hurt you. Any other question about what we talked about tonight? Okay, we'll stop then. SubhanakaAllah. InshaAllah. Astaghfirullah. Wa atubu ilayk. Fikum barakAllah.